Praise. That's a word I suspect that you hear every Sunday morning when you come to worship, although I haven't done a count. It's one of the headings in our bulletin, even. So it's one of our central actions as a worshiping community, praising. So what are all of the things that we mean by it? One brief definition is that praise is a word that describes a kind of gift we can bestow upon someone or something we really admire, something we endorse, something we find to be great. Praise. What do we praise? Whom do we praise? My mind took a slight tangent away from church, and I remembered conversations being had recently by friends who are parents or teachers. Conversations about the participation trophy. Now, I don't want to be the curmudgeon that takes a trophy away from anyone, but now and again I see this conversation pop up about the everybody gets a trophy method that is apparently quite prevalent in kids' sports and other activities. A New York Times article from 2013 titled "Losing is Good for You" offered a lot of critique of that method. Since the 1960s, when trophies started to be mass-produced, the culture has changed, and trophy and award sales are now an estimated $3 billion a year industry in the U.S. and Canada. Ashley Merriman, who was writing this article, and Poe Bronson have spent years reporting on the effects of praise and rewards on kids. And she writes that the science is clear. Awards can be powerful motivators, but nonstop recognition does not inspire children to succeed. Instead, it can cause them to underachieve. Jean Twenge, author of Generation Me, has studied increases in narcissism and entitlement among college students. And she warns that when living rooms are filled with participation trophies, it's part of a larger cultural message. To succeed, you just have to show up. In college, those who've grown up receiving endless awards do the requisite work, but don't see the need to do it well. In the office later, they still believe that attendance is all it takes to get a promotion. The teacher friend who shared this article with me said, "I read this article with interest after having a 7-year-old tell me that he didn't need to learn soccer skills in gym because I already have all the trophies." Social media adds further opportunities to seek a constant string of praise. I've caught myself after posting something online. If I haven't received any digital thumbs up in the first 10 minutes, I realize I'm feeling self-conscious about what I wrote, as if I need external affirmation that it's okay to express my thoughts or opinions and praise that they're good ones. As we celebrated Canada Day this week, I found myself musing on the connections between praise and patriotism. Blogger Lizanne Foster posed this question in her article, "Which Canada will you celebrate on Canada Day?" She wrote, "I'm not sure which Canada to celebrate this year. In the past, I celebrated John Diefenbaker's Canada, the one that introduced the Canadian Bill of Rights. Pierre Elliott Trudeau's Canada, that birthed the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. And Mulroney's Canada, that fought to end apartheid. But in Stephen Harper's Canada, what is there to celebrate?" And she proceeds to offer both a personal and an in-depth critique of Bill C-24, the Strengthening Canadian Citizenship Act, which as of June 11th this year divides Canadian citizens into two categories, leaving her, for a second time in her life, on the margins of full citizenship. She was born in South Africa as a so-called colored person. Foster had little to praise about our current government's policies. Maybe my brain just went in too many directions this week. Maybe you're wondering how this all comes back around to a psalm like Psalm 65 that starts by saying, "Praise is due to you, O God. God, you deserve praise. We owe it to you." What is praiseworthy? Is it all that our culture claims it to be? Is a government that puts up barriers between people one that is worthy of praise? Is always winning something to teach our kids to aspire to when failing is often what stirs people on to push new boundaries and to find new solutions? Isn't getting up and trying again the way to empathy, humility, bravery, not to mention the reality of life? What do we praise as a culture? Carla Claussen, a musician, reflects on the hymn, "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven," and she writes, "As I thought more about these words, it occurred to me that the characteristics inspiring praise might well be a guide for all of us. Grace and favor towards those in distress, slow to chide, swift to bless, tending and gently bearing. I think these are indeed characteristics worthy of praise, although I sometimes wonder if they are the characteristics we actually value. It seems words like successful, popular, accomplished, and powerful engender more praise in our culture. Yet for hundreds of years, images of the divine have been crafted through words, music, and art, inspiring praise of tenderness, joy, care, and grace. Perhaps we should pay heed to this history. Praise that which is worthy. Live lives worthy of praise." Now, all of these perhaps scattered thoughts have been about what we praise in people. And I suppose you'd remind me that that's a completely different animal than the praise that we give and that we owe to God. But maybe it's not entirely. Does it not make sense that what we praise, whom we praise, how we give praise, whenever, however we do this, it all shapes us as givers of praise? What we praise in one area of life, or perhaps what we are praised for, shapes the reasons and the way we offer praise over a lifetime. What is the act of praise? What does it do to us? Consider this poem, "O Say Poet," by Rainer Maria Rilke, retranslated recently by Mark S. Burroughs. "O say, poet, what you do? I praise. But what about the deadly and monstrous? How do you keep going? How do you take it all in? I praise. But the nameless and the unnamed, how do you keep calling out to them, poet? I praise. Where does it come from, your claim to be real in every guise and each mask? I praise. And that the stillness and turbulence know you like star and storm, because I praise." What I see in this poem is that praise is like breath. There is no life without it. What do you do, poet? I praise. That is the poet's function in life, the poet's path. How does the poet survive what is painful and awful and not praiseworthy in this world, of which we could list much? I praise. What makes the poet real, authentic in his or her relationships? I praise. I praise, I praise, as if life is praise, and we don't have enough words or gifts to finish expressing our praise. As if our acts of giving praise, showing gratitude, expressing awe and amazement, as if they change us and bring us closer in relationship and closer in line with the one who receives our praise. Praise is due to you, O God. You answer prayer. May we listen to the pleading voices of the suffering. You forgive our transgressions. may we forgive those who harm us. You have chosen us and brought us near to live in your courts. May we draw our neighbors into our homes, draw strangers into our lives. You answer us with awesome deeds of deliverance. May we be your agents of deliverance from the things that enslave: poverty, prejudice, violence. God, by your strength, you establish the mountains. May we trust in your strength before our own, and then also see how our strength may be expressed in creation rather than destruction. You silence the roaring of the seas and the tumult of the peoples. May we listen for your still small voice in the noise of our lives. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. You provide the people with grain. You water the earth's furrows abundantly and bless its growth. Nothing we can ever do can compare to what you have already done for us and the world you love, O God. We stand in awe and only hope that somehow in our living we might enrich our global community, provide for our neighbors, and bless those who are called enemies. Praiseworthy living is the greatest offering of praise to the God who is greater than all of our words and gifts and actions combined. Not living that seeks our own praise, but living that echoes the gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, Creator God, who was enfleshed in Jesus and abides here in spirit. O say, Church, what you do. We praise. We praise with our very living. Praise is due to the God who answers prayer from every fiber of our being. And every fiber of our being will be watered, enriched, refreshed, as even in the face of the deadly and monstrous, even when reaching for the unnamed and nameless, we praise, we praise, we praise, we live God's praise. And our lives of praise will heal the life of the world. Let's pray together the prayer for the week. It's on your bulletin or will also be on the wall behind me. And again, I invite you to pray this through prayer of praise throughout the week. Together. Praise is due to you, O God. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide the people with grain. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Amen.